It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. On the brand new, and I swear to God, they really are overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio here at the First Avenue. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. I made an executive decision. I think we're just going to have Peter Carlin come in on Thursday because he was trying to weasel out. He was supposed to join us in studio today. And then he told Scott, he's like, well, how about I call him today? And then I'll just come in later in the week. So I just, you know, I feel bad. I met that guy to eat up his whole day with us. So we are just going to have Peter come in on Thursday. And then blah, 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 blah. Plus more time for Clyde. Clyde Lewis in studio with us. We'll go to the Ministry of Truth here in just a skosh. About Angelina Jolie. She made an HBO movie called Gigi. Hot, hot lesbian stuff, just so you know. Angelina Jolie seems like one of those women who probably...
Well, I know she was in Gia.
Is it Gia? Is that what it's called?
Well, she played a supermodel from the 80s who ends up getting AIDS and dying.
Oh, right. Okay, well, that's what... okay, somebody...
She's beautiful in that movie, though.
Somebody else just said that. Angelina Jolie. She won a Golden Globe in Gia as the supermodel who died of AIDS. Yeah, so there you go. Well, that's the thing is, that's how you win stuff. That's how you win awards. Is play somebody who's you're blind
or
something.
She's a total junkie, and then, it's really difficult movie to watch.
That's the way to gold.
You got
to
play a retard. You got to play a prostitute. You got to play someone who's like defective in some way, like Gilbert Grape. You got to play some, like, you know.
That's how Forrest Gump got it.
Yeah, no, it's true. No, Hollywood loves retards. It's true.
They do.
It's true. It's
the Elephant Man. Come on.
I love an animal. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, he is your president, prophet, seer, and revelator. He is Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Lindsay Lohan's extraordinary privileges at Wonderland have driven disgruntled residents out of the rehab.
You sound fantastic.
Maybe it's my cold.
Yeah.
Well, recent ex-residents of Wonderland House, where Lauren has been staying, said that making an early exit was due entirely to a distraction caused by Lindsay. Apparently, all Wonderland's patients now are being treated with leniency, allowing all of them to wander around any way they want.
I understand. So this is where
Lindsay Lohan.
She was at rehab?
She is at rehab.
Oh, she is at rehab.
Wandering around.
In a daze.
In a daze.
Like anywhere Michael
she
Myers.
Wants to go. Like Margot Kidder.
Like
Margot.
Shaven head. And so is she in an actual rehab place, or is she in like an Isaiah Washington rehab place?
She's been seen wandering around everywhere.
Well, the thing about that Isaiah Washington rehab is like they won't even say what it was for. It was just for like stuff.
Yeah.
Like everybody else, like Mark Foley was there for, whatever happened to that guy too? He just vanished.
Yeah.
He just fell into some
black
hole.
Maybe he's still there.
There's a Mark Foley was there for booze, and you got, you know, whoever that's there for drugs, Mark Foley just sort of vanished. And then Isaiah Washington, though, when he went into rehab, it was just for no readily identifiable reason.
It didn't say which rehab he went to.
No, so Lindsay Lohan is just, she's wandering around somewhere and blah, 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 blah. Well, whatever.
All right.
Well, back to these sound bites. Five.
Let me, this is back A?
I believe so.
All right, fantastic. And, okay, we're ready to go.
Well, what better way to bring some excitement to St. Cloud, Minnesota, in the middle of the winter than learning Mandarin Chinese? Yes, Katie Johnson says international conflicts can be avoided if people understand each other. Number four.
What happens often when we're taught about our own culture so much is we become very ethnocentric and thinking that our culture is the only culture in the world and everybody else should start thinking and acting like us. When actually, it's of great benefit.
Let's see if we can spot the condescending syllable in this sentence.
What happens often when we're taught about our own culture so much is we become very ethnocentric and thinking that our culture is the only culture in the world and everybody else should start thinking and acting like us. When actually, it's of great benefit to be able to culture shift.
Whatever. No one cares.
Yes, people in Minnesota have to learn how to speak Chinese.
Somebody who is knowledgeable and capable of promoting peace through critical thinking and global skills and understanding different cultures and working with other cultures.
This is why no one respects the left in this country.
Mandarin Chinese is the language of business, and you should learn it.
Especially
in Minnesota. How can you expect it to progress?
Seriously, it's a bunch of nattering. And this is in Minnesota?
Yeah.
And the language of labor is Espanol, and the language of everybody is us, the United States.
I'm just saying. Seriously, I don't care about other cultures. I just don't.
You just care about the white man in charge and the language he speaks.
That's Tim Riley who made that assessment, by the way, which is correct. No, I only care about, that's the thing, is I only care about the culture of whoever it is that's going to, you know, I care about the culture of like, the mall and whoever it is that's currently signing my paychecks. That's
the Chinese will be signing your paychecks in a little while, because
all those loans
we have out into the Chinese world.
I'm saying, I, for one, welcome my oppressive Caucasian overlords. And
I tell you what, your flags, Rick.
No, here's the... Doesn't matter. I don't care.
So you guys are going to be signing your checks soon. You guys just, for the flag.
Here's the thing. If and when it becomes economically advantageous for me to learn Mandarin Chinese, then I will do it.
Okay.
At that point, until that point, it doesn't matter. I don't care. I don't care about that for the same reason I don't care about the global warming. It just doesn't. I'll be dead. I'll be gone. Doesn't matter.
The Earth will still be here, though. We don't have to worry about us.
What's that?
The Earth will still be here.
Yeah, that's what
it's
I'm
not
going
to go away.
So seriously, my life is just so. My life consists of coming here, making stupid observations about Terry Garr's cleavage for a few hours, going home and falling asleep on the sofa, and then waking up and having some cheese whiz, and then going back to sleep and coming and doing it all again. That's my culture right there. That's my culture in a nutshell. Here's Tim Riley.
They're taking away all the cats at the women's prison in Vermont. Caring for cats teaches empathy, responsibility, compassion, and it's a great educational tool, say people for cats. But the problem is, some of the inmates have been scratched. Others are allergic to cats. Some women don't even like cats. Recently, an inmate used a cigarette lighter to try to burn a cat.
Why don't we all just laugh at that?
About a month ago, the prison started giving away the cats to rid them. Now the ladies won't be able to have any of these pussy cats anymore and have to find a new hobby.
Because it's amazing that there's a women's prison running amok with cats and cigarettes.
And that just doesn't even make any sense. Why? I mean, seriously.
Why are there cats there?
And why? The female prisons and male prisons, I think, are demonstrably different. Why? The male prisons aren't filled with goats and fireworks. It doesn't make any sense. Why would you have a prison and then fill it full? I guess.
What are they supposed to do all day?
You're crazy. They're supposed to soap each other up in the shower and then work on chain gangs. Everybody knows that. That's the point.
Linda Blair comes to visit every once in a while.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, that's what I'm saying. When Rick Emerson is the grand irremovable dictator.
There's a 10 for you. Linda Blair in chained heat.
Okay. Since the 1980s, they have kept this prison mouse free.
There you go. This fun fact brought to you by Tim Riley. Linda Blair and Chained Heat?
Yeah.
I haven't seen Chained Heat for a long
time. Chained Heat. It was Cadenas Calientes in Buenos Aires when I saw it.
What does that mean?
Hot chains.
Fantastic. I haven't seen that movie forever. Hey, let me ask you this. How old was Linda Blair when she made Exorcist II, The Heretic?
I don't know. She was naked in that movie, though. I know.
No, she wasn't.
She was.
In Exorcist II?
Yes. She was young.
You lie.
No, she was naked. She runs naked throughout the entire movie.
You're lying. I don't remember that.
Heretic was a stupid movie, but
well, she has the dreams about
highly
flying.
Underrated horror film. Very good.
No. Okay, but she's not in that. Let's get back to Exorcist 2 for a second.
Okay.
Linda Blair's nude in the Exorcist 2. I don't remember. I think you're merging two movies.
No, I think she's nude. If I remember.
Here's why I don't think.
All is her running through the streets going with the naked body.
I don't think you're right about that, and here's why I say that.
Okay.
Because wasn't she like 16?
Maybe.
I don't think she was of age.
I think she was, I have the feeling she was 12 when she did The Exorcist. Or 10. 12.
Okay, but that's not the movie
Dana
I'm talking
Plato,
about.
Dana Plato.
Well,
I'm talking
that right now.
I'm talking,
when
she was
talking about
Dana Plato was supposed to play the part of Reagan, but she didn't.
Don't you think there ought to be a character called Dana Plato?
Yeah, I think so.
Some sort of a toy, of a children's toy, Dana Plato, and then she would extrude something.
Then you can mold a clay Dana Plato, and then she could hold up a liquor store.
Give her a clay Valium.
Tell her to go to sleep.
Okay. Linda Blair was like 12 when she did the first Exorcist. When did Exorcist 2 come out?
I don't know.
Was she of age? And then I don't think she was. I think she was of age.
Go to the IMDb.
Later, when she did.
Internet Movie Database.
Somebody will tell us. I'm just saying, I don't remember her being nude in Exorcist 2. That's my point. Here's Tim Riley.
The president of Hot Dog on a Stick is dead. And it's a woman. This woman's name is Frederica Thorne. She has died of Lou Gehrig's disease, and she was only 64. She spent 27 years with Hot Dog on a Stick, based in Carlsbad, California. Her friends called her Freddie. She became president of the 61-year-old company in 2001. The company has more than 100 locations and serve lemonade and hot dogs on a stick.
You think she studied Freud?
I'm just going to say this. Hot dog on a stick. First of all, has anybody ever in their life seen a man working at hot dog on a stick?
No,
ever.
No.
Ever. Have you ever seen a boy working there?
No.
I don't believe so.
Hot dog on a stick, they made the savviest marketing decision, which is just to have, and they're all blonde. It's just nothing but blonde 16-year-old girls working at that place. That's
churning
all
lemonade.
It is.
Sure. And serving you something phallic on a stick. Churning, that's something that Freud would love.
I'm just saying, that's, I mean, and I don't care whether, the, I mean, the worst uniforms ever. The worst work uniform of any job at any business ever.
Better than Hooters.
But it's offset. No, but it's offset by the fact that it does nothing but stunning teenage girls that work there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just, I don't mean to sound lecherous about it. I'm simply saying from a business practice point of view, that was one shrewd decision that they made. Let's do one more. We'll talk a little Clyde, and we'll take a break. We'll do some other things. We're going to do a suburban perspective still, and we'll try to sneak this top five in. Here's Tim Riley.
A man is impaled in the groin area when he fell. This happened from a first-story balcony on a steel fence near Melbourne early today. The man is in his early 20s. He fell from the balcony of a terrace house. He's in stable condition. The fire brigade officer said the man freed himself with the aid of emergency crews. We didn't have any rescue equipment. We supported him, and he freed himself from the fence. He suffered a wound to the groin and lost a lot of blood. It's quite unfortunate.
Wound to the groin's like a boot to the head.
Ow.
Okay, what's disturbing about that is the idea that they didn't sedate him at all. That he was, what is the word? Does it say stuck or impaled?
Impaled.
Okay. I mean, if you're impaled, one of the first rules ought to be, like in the Hippocratic Oath, one of the first rules ought to be that you don't have to free yourself from the fence. If you're impaled in the groin on a fence, you ought to get all the medication you want, and they ought to just take you. That's a thing where they should just come and immediately hit you with a tranquilizer gun, and you just go to sleep, and you wake up weeks later, and you're fine. You shouldn't have to be freeing yourself from a fence if you've been impaled in the groin. Secondly, we've got this. Rick, about Linda Blair. Let's see. Linda Blair was 17... in The Exorcist 2, and was not naked.
No. I remember being naked.
Maybe
this is something I was thinking about.
I
don't know.
Well, that's between you and your God. I don't know anything about that. Linda Blair was 17 in The Exorcist 2 and was not naked. Linda Blair's first nude scene was Chain Heat. And by the way, she was 13 when she made The Exorcist. So there you go. So not nude in Exorcist 2. I don't know what movie you're thinking of.
Chain Heat.
Yeah. Speaking of which,
Cadenas calientes.
Speaking of nude scenes, I was talking to Mr. Skin the other day. We're going to start having Mr. Skin's going to be joining us on the program on the next couple weeks. He's going to be starting a bi-monthly feature. He's going to be doing with us on the Rick Emerson Show. So we'll talk more about that as the month of February gets underway. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Let's do this. Let's take a break. We'll come back. A few more headlines. We'll talk to Clyde Lewis. We'll do the Suburban Perspective with Scotty J, and we'll try to squeeze in the top five for today. Broadcasting from the new studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio, newly relocated to First Avenue today, this is the Rick Emerson Show. Stay there. Should I just hum to myself?
It froze on me. I hate this piece of crap.
Well done, Sarah Dillon. Hello.
Now, we're not referring to the new equipment.
Oh, I see. Oh, there it is. No one noticed, I'm sure.
It's so much life. Right. I hate my life.
It's a... Fantastic. We're glad to be here. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. Look at me. It's not my fault. Talk to your own therapist about that. 503-733-2970. Did I mention that he was wearing like a Cliff Huxtable sweater?
You did.
Yeah.
Are you going to give him a hug today?
No, I am not. No, we shook hands. Kind of an unimpressive handshake. Well, anyway. And he was drinking a lot of tea.
You should always have tea at your therapist.
I have tea. Well, here's the thing about, and then we'll, I don't want to go on about it, but we'll talk to Clyde Lewis more. We'll do some headlines with Tim Riley. We'll do Suburban Perspective here in a few. Like us at 3, Donna Mike at 7. The thing about it is, here's the thing.
Because we were mentioning this at the top of the program. The thing about the new guy, the new therapist, and as I said in the past, this is the first time I've had a male therapist, is it's a complete reversal of the way it normally is. Like, in the past, I didn't really care if the therapist helped me at all. I just, because they were all chicks. All my former therapists were women. So I don't really care if they helped me. I just wanted them to find me hilarious and entertaining and amusing and, you know, and dashing and so forth. I just wanted them to think that I was, oh, he's so artistic and tortured. That's, I'm in love with him. And that's what, you know, and so I just, that was my whole goal. Like, I didn't really care if anything was really accomplished or if anything productive happened. I just wanted all the therapists to think that I was like, happy. But with this guy, of course, because he's a big black man, it's entirely the opposite. I don't care if he finds me amusing and entertaining or compelling or interesting or wacky or whatever. I just want him to fix everything. But of course, that doesn't seem to be happening. He just seems to find everything I say amusing. So I gotta find a way to ratchet down my entertainment value when I go in there tonight.
You're never gonna get anywhere if you're just putting on another hour of your show.
It's not that I'm putting on an hour, Sarah. Some of us can't turn off the charm. That's what I'm saying. Some of us.
Yeah.
No, I think, well, and because I go in and I'm all I'm all nervous too, because that's because I've only seen him the one time. He's the new shrink. And I haven't been to a shrink for a few years anyway, so I'm all nervous. And so what do I do when I'm nervous? When I'm nervous, I become the tap dancing, singing, wisecracking nitwit. And so of course he finds me hilarious, as people do. And then the session is over, and it is 15 minutes gone, and I'm closer to death, and I'm my bank account is lower, and I've accomplished nothing. So,
Is
Clyde's mic on?
Why don't you do like you do at parties? Why don't you bring me along? And then I'll just entertain him.
It's Clyde. We can just do a little show for him right there in the room. Anyway,
I'll break the ice, and then you just take over.
And do you do this when you go to your shrink? Are you obsessed with seeing what they're writing down on the pad about you?
No, God, no, I don't want to see.
No, but see, I do, because he'll sit and he'll go, well, so what about this facet of your bizarre and warped personality? And I'll say, well, here's the thing about that. And he'll go long stretches of time where he didn't write down anything. He'll just sit there and go, mm-hmm. Okay, what I'm hearing is blah, 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 and he'll just say whatever. And then we'll get to some random point, and he'll go, And then he'll look down, and he'll scribble some note to himself. And then I'm starting to think, what was the note about? What did I say? What is it out of the last 25 minutes worth of dialogue, what did I say that was suddenly so interesting that he had to stop and make an observation about it? And will I ever find out? Anyway.
The answer to that is no.
The answer is
it's always claims
you'll never
to.
Find out.
Claims to, denies that, claims to.
Lives in delusional state of fantasy. Thinks is entertaining, is not. All right. We'll die penniless and alone. We'll die unwashed and unloved on the street, asking passersby if they ever think about the facts of life. All right, ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, a man with most of his marbles intact, Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A nice Beaverton woman is missing. 59-year-old Beverly Johnson disappeared Saturday. Be careful if you see her, because she has a history of seizures, and she's unable to identify herself or communicate with others.
Wait, hold on. No, there's a joke there.
There is no joke.
She's
there's a lady missing.
Throw in the tub with the wash.
She's 69, younger than Mary Tyler Moore.
No.
Seizure.
If you seizure salad, if you see her seizures.
Seizure salad.
If you see her seizures by the seashore. That's a good one.
No, wait, hold on. No, there's no way. But doesn't it seem like there ought to be a joke?
Yeah.
Because you're trying to see her and then she suffers from seizures.
See her seizures. What's her name?
Is that like soldier shit?
Sally has seizures as you see her.
I'm sure that's reassuring to the family. We're trying to bring awareness in our own.
We're lighting the mood.
Well, an explosion has ruined the boat and the place where it was tied up. This happened in Scappoose. It was a boat explosion early today around 11 o'clock. Now I feel bad. Now I feel like we ought to go back and do the story
straight. Well, let's go find the lady.
All right. Well, let's read the scene story again, and I will not make fun.
I think this woman is too old for an Amber Alert.
I will.
I think she's for old people, too.
Well, Beverly Joyce Johnson is 69. She disappeared Saturday. She arrived at the Beaverton Library around 11 o'clock, and nobody's seen her since. And she also has a history of seizures. She's unable to identify herself or communicate with others, so how does she take out library books? Well, that's just a thought. If she goes to the library...
And we felt bad, didn't we?
Because she's a very nice woman and was last seen driving a Honda Accord.
She can drive?
Right.
She has seizures? But yeah. She can't.
That was
too soon. Too soon. Too soon. Too soon.
Anyway, okay, well, that was my attempt at making that story better and more reassuring.
She shouldn't be that difficult to find. She's 5'2" and weighs 150 pounds.
Stop!
We're just digging a hole.
She's wearing a brown wavy wig.
Okay. All right, there you go.
And may have library books.
You heard me. I tried to reset it, and I tried to do the story in like that. I tried to do it like a real news program there for a second, and it just didn't work all apart. All right, there you go. And this is in Beaverton?
Yes, it is.
Well, Beaverton is a whole... you know what Beaverton is? Beaverton is like one of those houses where everything has been rubberized with soft corners, and they put little plugs in all the electrical outlets because there's babies in the house. Beaverton is a whole city. Like, what is in Beaverton that could possibly harm you? You know what I mean? I mean, you know, when I accidentally bump into a Frogurt shop somewhere. This is a whole city which is completely without danger. All right, well, in any event, let's do one more here, and then we'll talk to Scotty J.
Well, then we have Jane Fonda, who's entered the war against Iraq. At the tail end of yesterday's On the Mall rally, organized by the United for Peace, Justice, and whatever hippie movement, Fonda stood on stage with the Capitol behind her and addressed sun-drenched thousands. I haven't spoken at an anti-war rally in 34 years.
We've missed
now
you.
Let's keep it, though.
Yeah,
she's boy, also the same age as this woman who disappeared. She's 69.
It's Jane Fonda.
Yeah. And the same age as this
Hanoi Jane
Beaverton lady.
Right? We're going back to the Beaverton lady. That's going to end badly. What is her name?
Jane Fonda.
No, the Beaverton lady. Maybe there's some
Beverly
humor.
Joyce Johnson.
Maybe there's some humor there that we haven't mined. Maybe there's a tiny bit of information in the story that we haven't already callously hoarded out for humor. Maybe there's something there. Sarah keeps asking me to play the too soon bit.
Too soon.
All right, fine. It's hold on. Yes, I gotta
so
get
Jane Fonda.
Hold on.
Hold
on.
Too soon. Too soon. Too soon.
All right, there you go. Her name is what?
Jane Fonda.
No.
Beverly Joyce Johnson.
Skip it. Move on. Let's move on. Let's do another. Let's forget this whole thing. Let's do one more stuff. Forget what I said about ending on the Jane Fonda story. Let's do one more.
Well, I already told you about the boat blowing up, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
All right, well, that means I got to go find another one. Removal of a 93-pound cyst has a woman on the recovery track. Tequila Hilton.
Tequila Hilton?
Tequila Hilton.
It's Paris Hilton's long-lost
what
tumor.
What kind of a name is Tequila Hilton?
Well, she's...
Is that like Tequila Mockingbird? I don't know why that's... There ought to be a drink called a Tequila Mockingbird. Oh, bitches, I am calling that one right now. Oh, I don't have my joke copyright sounder. Oh, wait, hold on. Will it play? No. Oh, I don't think I have my...
Bitch, don't copyright to that.
Oh, I tried to play it and then it failed. I am calling that out right now. That is a drink that probably doesn't exist.
Bitch, don't copyright 2007, Rick Emerson Show.
There you go.
The Tequila Mockingbird.
The Tequila Mockingbird. All right,
we'll
who do we know that drinks tequila? Aaron?
Aaron will make it.
Aaron, I...
And it'll knock you on your butt because he makes everything stiff.
Please now to be... He what?
He makes every drink stiff.
That's not what you said. You said he makes everything stiff.
Do we maybe have a Freudian slip here?
Would you like to come to the therapist tonight with me? You can if you want. Okay, Aaron, please to be creating the Tequila Mockingbird. That whole scene, Tim, that you never know where gold's going to lie. We were right to plunge ahead. Anyway, she had a what removed?
Cyst.
All right. And how many pounds was it?
172.
That's a big cyst.
Where would you even store that? I mean...
Where was it at? Where was it on her body?
I don't understand these people, and it's always women for some reason. I don't understand why it's not men. I guess because in a man, you would just sort of... I don't know, maybe with the women, do they think
that's 106 pounds. That's a small child you're carrying.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't understand where you'd keep that in your body that you wouldn't just pop like a balloon. You know what I mean? Like, where do you even store that in your body, a cyst that big?
How big was it?
It's 100 and some pounds.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even understand where that goes. Like, you can't keep it in your stomach, right? Because your stomach would, whatever, digest it, or it would burst through or something. You can't, it's like, you can't keep it in your leg. Like, where does that even go, medically speaking? Like,
probably in the butt.
What's that?
It's probably in the butt.
Brian, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Hello, sir.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Ooh, what's
hello,
that?
Hello, Brian. All right, let's, yeah, Scotty, just.
I can't hear you.
Take that call out back and euthanize it. All right, yeah.
That was sad.
I am pretty sure that's the phones back in the studio, too. I'm pretty sure that's not Brian.
We're near.
No, that's that loose button.
We're nearly at the end of the program.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's take a break here. We'll come back with Scotty J and the Suburban Perspective. Clyde Lewis will talk to us more about what's coming up. Are you at Dante tonight?
Yes.
Talk more about that. Like us at 3, Don and Mike at 7. It's the Rick Emerson radio program from the new studios at AM 970. Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. God forbid. Like if Sarah were to die, be attacked by ravens or hit by a car or something, this is the song we would play to remember her by. Like today we say goodbye.
Or thrown off the balcony of the mausoleum.
Yes. We would play this the next day.
I love a Dropkick Murphys.
What song do you want played the day after you die? Like when the Rick Emerson program is here celebrating the life of Clyde Lewis.
Wish You Were Here or Mad World by Gary Jules.
That's a good one.
Because if they play that, everybody will cry. I want everybody just to
Mad World
cry.
By Gary Jules?
Yeah.
Okay, that's it. We'll do that.
I wanted Storm to sing it at my funeral, but she already sang it on Rockstar Supernova.
The bad news is apparently the Tequila Mockingbird is already taken. It's 2 ounces of tequila, half an ounce of lemon juice, and a teaspoon of cream de menthe. Shake both the ingredients in a shaker with ice and strain into a cocktail glass. Well, fine, faster. It's 503-733-2970. We're with Clyde Lewis. We'll talk about the Ground Zero Lounge in just a moment. But first, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson program for another exciting installment of The Suburban Perspective. Let's talk to our good friend Scotty J. Hello, Scotty J. How are you, sir?
Good afternoon.
How are things?
Things are great.
Oh, wait, is that my computer doing that? It's kind of a large
file. It seems to be.
Fantastic. That's great.
Do you want me to play something from over here?
Did you just turn it off?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's just my computer. It's like... It's...
Rick, stop.
No, I'm not doing anything.
Yes, you are.
I'm not doing anything. I'm just trying to live. All right, Scotty J., how are you, sir?
Doing good.
All right. Let's talk about the suburban perspective today, Scotty J. Now, we've heard many sound bites today, many quotes, many observations, many ruminations about Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton, who was running for president in 2008. We want to know, the suburban, do you have some music you can play underneath?
Uh-huh.
We want to know the suburban perspective on the concept of a female president, Scotty J. What is the suburban perspective on a female president?
Not going to happen.
Why is that, Scotty?
I just don't think America is ready for a woman president. And secondly, we've already had enough of the Clintons, so I just can't imagine how she's going to become, you know, president. And secondly, is it only me or...
Didn't you just...
When
do...
she's...
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, there's... I only go to two, so you go back to one and then two. I know what you're talking about there. I'm numbering my items.
Uh-huh.
Hillary, doesn't she sound like she's, you know, talking to a, like, yelling at us?
Well, she's
like a stern mom.
Yeah, it sounds like she's, I can't imagine, you know, 48 years of, and we will do this, and we won't take it anymore! It's ridiculous.
What speeches are you listening to? You're
sure this is kind of how she sounds when she talks.
So you don't believe a female president's going to happen. Why?
I don't think that it's not necessarily going to happen someday. I just don't think it's going to happen now. I don't think that the American public is ready for that. And if Bush really did as bad as people tend to want to believe, then they're going to want a president that can come in and supposedly clean up after him. And I don't think Hillary is the one that's going to do that.
Well, I'm unclear. So do you believe that there is or is not something to clean up?
I believe that the public believes there's something to clean up. But
you don't think women are good at cleaning up after stupid men? Is that what you're saying?
You do not believe Hillary Clinton to be a strong woman?
No, she is a strong woman.
So what's the problem?
The problem is I just don't think the American public will view her in such a sense that if Bush has made all these mistakes.
Which you don't believe he has.
Personally, no.
Okay.
No, personally not.
I'm listening.
You guys can laugh all you want, but, yes. You know, someday when the pages of history are written.
Someday. There'll be like a Sears and Roebuck catalog in an outhouse.
The pages are going to be rewritten.
Let me ask you this. Do you believe that President George Bush has made any mistakes in his presidency? And if so, please to name one.
Yes, he has a problem with some words sometimes. He miscommunicates.
I'm talking about in terms of his policy or the things he's done. Do you believe he has made any incorrect decisions? And if so, what would
yes,
they be?
Yes, I do, as a matter of fact.
Such as?
There was a time when he could have put more troops into Iraq, and he chose not to because I think he probably was thinking it was going to be like the first time we entered Iraq with his father, and we just kind of went in there and bombed for a few days, and out we went. So he put in less troops, thinking that we wouldn't need that. And the Democrats were all for it at the time, to put in more troops. And I think he just thought we can handle it with less. And now he actually needs more help, and people are like, forget about it. So it's political sabotage.
You mean he's being...
It's mutiny.
It's mutiny.
It's mutiny.
We're having mutiny on the Democratic side right now. Like, we need help more than ever.
Yeah.
And they're like, nope, we're not going to do it. We're not going to give you our support anymore. So those guys are just going to have to tough it out by themselves.
Okay. Thank you, Scotty.
Hey, you're welcome. Anytime, Rick.
There's Scotty J., ladies and gentlemen, with the suburban perspective.
Thank you.
Clyde Lewis, Dante's Ground Zero Lounge tonight.
Yes.
What's up?
A lot of things are up. It's interesting. I'm going to, I just got back from Park City. I was at...
You went to Sundance, right?
Sundance and Tromadance. And I saw Christina Aguilera there.
Was she hot?
She was hot. It was hard getting up to her, though, because of the fact that she had a lot of Latino bodyguards.
You got that restraining order and everything.
Yeah, I couldn't get near her, but she was there hanging out with us. I met Paul Bickle, who is doing a new movie called Hollow, which is a really frightening-looking film. Also, M. Strange, which I thought was pretty pretentious, called himself M. His real name is Mike, and he's doing a movie called We Are the Strange. Met up with him, and a guy by the name of Darren Brown. Now, this is what's really fascinating about this guy, and I may show this tonight at Dante's. If you guys want to see something. Dante's, by the way, is starting new movies, too, prior to me speaking. And the movies they're starting are movies like Terror Storm or Loose Change, anything that, you know, is controversial as a type of conspiratorial type movies. This movie is not conspiratorial. It is, however, a movie, and then Darren, and people said, that, you know, you got to meet Darren, got to see what Darren has. Darren has a TV show in England. He is a hypnotist, kind of a guy like you, who's open to the paranormal but doesn't believe in it. But he is able to do, they give him clearance to do certain things that are just amazing. And one of the things he did is he fronted what appeared to be a self-help group. He got a bunch of business people together, and it was a motivational talk that he gave. I got them all together, and they eliminated certain people as they went on. And as he went through, he finally got them using music and certain types of gestures and motions. He got them into a state of mind where at the trigger of a music bed that was some of them Jackson 5, he was able to get three out of four people to hold up a bank. It's the most horrifying thing you'll ever see. And I have that.
So it was like a Manchurian candidate kind of a...
Kind of, but it was like he got them to think about things, and word association and color association, light association, he first convinced them they could go into a convenience store and steal a candy bar. And all of them went and still were stealing candy bars. And then he got them to move further with other things, and then he taught them how to use the power of their voice to get people to fall on the floor. And he said it was some sort of a surge that you can do with power being assertive. But in reality, he was basically programming them to say it to a guard. It was the creepiest thing to watch. And I have it. It's 40 minutes. I don't know. I just got back from Utah. I'm a little tired, but I may show that. I was supposed to have this documentary about my show called Day Called X. It was supposed to be here, but it didn't show up. I don't know what happened with the director. He was supposed to send it to me. He didn't send it to me, or else I haven't found it yet. But if not, I'll show that. But I have some things that I want to share with people, some very interesting things. We're in the middle of a UFO flap. I don't know if you know this. More UFOs are being seen all over the country.
Oh, yeah. I saw that on the drug report.
Tons of UFOs being seen in the country, and a lot of other strange things going on. Also, Chuck Serino, the guy who brought us Weird TV and Weird America, has got a new website out called UFONews.com.tv, UFONews.tv, and on it, he brings up some of the more interesting UFO personalities or paranormal personalities in the country, and he features me on his site this month, and I'm very excited about that, because I worked with Chuck on Weird TV back in the old days, and he's a really good producer. He's done several horror films, and he's really well known in Hollywood, so I'm very excited to be on that website, and honored to be on that website, and hoping tonight will be a smash at Dante's. As I said, they're going to be showing movies at 6. I come on about 8 o'clock, and we'll be rocking the house with all kinds of conspiratorial talk and all this sort of stuff.
Excellent. And the website is ClydeLewis.com.
By the way, everybody at Troma says hello to you.
Oh, really?
Lloyd Kaufman was there, and I had managed to party with a number of great people, like the TNA sisters, which was kind of fun.
When's Lloyd coming back to Portland?
I don't know. I asked him, and he said he doesn't know for sure, but we'd like to get him back and do a Troma Palooza.
You tell him the door is always open.
All right, we'll do that.
Kaufman.
We'll do that.
All right, Clyde Lewis, the Ground Zero Lounge tonight at Dante's, 8 o'clock. And ClydeLewis.com is the website. Let's see if I have time to read anything here. Rick, it is possible that your therapist writes nothing when you say something huge or meaningful, but saves it for when you say something droll, so it doesn't register you what they found interesting. This is from a therapist, I think. B, he could also be writing a note to self to pick up spray cheese for his Triscuits. You have a legal right to see your official chart. The scribbled notes will not be there. A smart therapist only writes things in general terms or actual quotes from you in case you or your family sues, and that's when they find me blue and decomposing in a Motel 6 somewhere. Not that that would ever happen.
Sure.
And the chart ends up in court. Anyway, there should be a contest to guess Rick's mental diagnosis. Yeah. Yes, that's, how could that possibly go wrong? All right, 503-733. Oh, we were going to have the audience vote on what I needed to talk to the therapist about. Well, whatever. Next time.
Just go talk to your therapist. Please.
You know, you sound like an after-school special. You sound like one of the, like father, like son. All right, what the hell am I? Well, we're done. The Rick Emerson Show, produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah Xillin for AM 970 Solid State Radio. In the newsroom, Tim Riley, Clyde Lewis here today. We want to thank Lisa Goddard, Jim Roop, and, of course, Scotty J, the PA. Everybody at CBS Radio, Portland Engineering, Brian Jones.
Thank you.
Jeremy, Jeff McGinley, et cetera, so on and so forth. Ryan, Chris, all of those guys. And, of course, the manager of the Rick Emerson Studio East is Dave Zinn. See y'all tomorrow. Like us next. Bye now.
Right across his posterior.